We're on a series that's called Follow Me, and really it's about discipleship, and we used a word last week talking about apprenticeship, and that's really not a word that a lot of us use. Some of us do. We've got several electricians in the room that have been through apprenticeship school. Carpenters go through it. Millwrights go with steel workers. A lot of those guys go through these classes that aren't just going to school, but is on-the-job training between 4 and 5 years of passing through the apprenticeship program, and they're now able to do everything that they learned. It's not just been book learning, it's been on-the-job training. And so when we talk about discipleship, it's not a class we take, it's not a box we check, it's not something that we all of a sudden, we do move through it, but it's something that many people equate. I'm a Christian, I'm a believer, I'm saved, I'm a disciple, and all those things should be the same, but they're really not in our culture. Because so many of us just check the box and we've gone to a church or what, I'm saved, I'm good. And you are going to heaven, but you really haven't become a disciple. So really what we want to talk about in this series of lessons is how we follow him and what we need to be following him in, and how we can continue to grow and grow spiritually. I have just made up my mind. I do not want to be stuck. Stuck and stayed and stale and stanky, and it's all the same, and it just you get old and you just get you don't care, and you start eating funky and thinking funky and dressing funky and just living funky, and I don't want to be that guy. Come on, I'm going to be fresh and flourishing. Come on, everybody. Come on, everybody. I'm going to keep growing, so I'm going to wear some skinny jeans until they cut them off my legs. Come on, somebody. And you said, oh, man, no. Those skinny jeans have moved on. They're baggy jeans now. Okay, I'm going to get some baggy jeans. Oh, look at this scripture, Matthew chapter 28. Let's look at this kickoff scripture that we read last week, verse 18, 19. Jesus says this before his ascension. He's already raised from the dead. This is before he goes to his ascension, goes to heaven forever and ever until he returns. He says this, all authority, come on, say all authority. All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Here it is. All authority has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Two components to what he said for us to do. Number one, go. This is the evangelism piece. Come on, say it with me, evangelism. Somebody said evangelism is a dirty word in church. Come on. And most people don't want to do it. Most people think, well, that's just for the aggressive people. And that's for the people that want to go out in the streets. And this is something for all of us to do. Evangelism just simply means sharing your faith with other people. Listen, be present in their situation. Be present in their distress. Be with them. Do life with other people in the hopes of reaching them for Jesus Christ. We're not to evangelize Christians who are already in other churches. Evangelism doesn't mean we're trying to get you to come to our church. I want you to stay in your church. Come on, if that's where you're supposed to be, stay in that church, grow in that church, serve in that church. And I know God moves us around and stuff like that. I'm not saying against that, but the body of Christ by large is hopping from fish tank to fish tank and never discipling or growing or evangelizing anybody else. Let that not be us. Amen. Can I get an amen, everybody? So evangelism. So I want to tell my friends, I want to tell my family, I want to tell my coworkers. I just want the life of God to flow through me. Not weird, not strange, not kooky, spooky, crazy stuff. It's just every day, let's bring Jesus in the workplace. Let's bring Jesus around the table with our kids. Come on, let's bring Jesus, come on, in our coming and our going. If somebody says, if somebody says something crazy at work, we're not going to come against them and say, we just let it go, and then maybe when there's another time, an opportune time, we bring the word of God to them. Come on, share your testimony. This is evangelism. How did you come to be a believer? What's God doing in your life right now? What prayer has he answered for you right now? Share your testimony. Tell people what God's doing. But it's not just evangelism. It's saying, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. This is where maybe a lot of us and maybe the church has been just pretty weak on, is making disciples. We said the word disciples means learner, a pupil, or an apprentice. Make learners, make pupils, make apprentices for these people that now you have evangelized. This is what, listen to me, When we read the Bible, don't read it where you say this is what Jesus talked about to those 12 disciples, or those 11 at that time. One of them, Judas, already hung himself. And then now I'm off the hook. It's for them, but not for me. No, it's for you. It's not for a pastor. It's not for a prophet. It's not for an apostle. It's for all of us. We all should be going. We all should be making disciples. Make disciples first, number one, parents, with the kids in your house. Make disciples. Don't leave discipleship to the kids ministry downstairs or the youth ministry outside. Make disciples. Bring God into your everyday life. Deuteronomy 6 says, when you wake up, when you go to bed, and you're uprising and you're downrising, and you're coming and you're going, bring God into the equation of your family. Evangelize your family. Because listen to me, they're getting evangelized in the school. They're getting evangelized on the iPad. They're getting evangelized. They're being reached. They're being influenced. There's somebody out there who we said last week is a rabbi type figure who is trying to indoctrinate and teach your kids and you as well. And so you got to know, and we got to teach people, and we got to continually come back to the truth of the Word of God so that we can all grow spiritually. And that's the longest sentence I've ever said in my life. Whew. Take a breath. Look on the screen real quick. Discipleship, we said last week, is the daily pursuit of being formed into the image of Jesus. It's the daily pursuit of where you come day in and day out, week in and week out. You go to the gym every day. Come on. You know it. You could get a quick puff up. You know, you get beefed up, and that's cool. But if you think the one day is going to change you forever, you are utterly deceived. Anybody like me, when you eat one good day, you eat salad and some greens and some asparagus and broccoli one day, and you go by the mirror and go, come on now. It's working in you, but it ain't working like that in you. Come on, you got to be committed to about 6 weeks of restoration. Come on, everybody. How about a colon cleanse? Come on, we're gonna get you cleaned out. Oh, help me, Lord. I went there. We're gonna get you all flushed out so we can put some new stuff in. We're gonna break you down before we build you up. Come on, God's in this daily process of being changed into the image of Jesus Christ. The scripture calls it being changed, being transformed. 2 Corinthians 3 says, from glory to glory. From glory to glory. From one degree of glory to another degree. I believe this is what God wants for all of us, where we think and act and talk and live and respond and interact with just knowing the image of God has been stamped on our life. We've been called, we've been bought, we've been chosen, we've been redeemed. Come on, we're heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. He's our Father. I'm His Son. I can hear Him. I can follow Him. I'm your sheep. I know you. The voice of the deceiver, I don't follow. I know you, Lord God. I'm going to follow you. But as Kimberly said, I got to come every day because there's some other noises in my head and in my heart right now. And I want to hear you and know you even more today. This is the person. This is the man, the woman, the student who decides, I just don't want to be saved. I want to become a disciple. A disciple. I don't know if I said this last week or not, but I was thinking about it, so I wrote it down here for you. When you become a Christian, that gets you into heaven. But when you become a disciple, that gets heaven into you. I'm a Christian. I'm saved. Good. Live your life. You're going to heaven. It's a prayer you pray that opens the heavens, that causes you to be born again, causes heaven to come down and dwell in you. But now I could pray it once when I'm 20, and I could live just this normal kind of carnal, fleshly, in a little bit, out a lot of bit kind of life. And I don't think that's the way you really want to live. I don't think that's really the call of God on any of our lives. Where we live so close to the edge, people don't know if we really love Jesus or not. We're not aggressive in our faith. We're never inviting, including, and bringing. We're never praying for people. Nobody at our office even knows that we're saved. There's nothing difference between me and them. And it's not clothing, and it's not if I pray over my meal, my lunch meal, but there's something about us, the Spirit of God that we carry within us, that's alive and vibrant, that is a drawing factor, the presence of Jesus alive in us, because we're daily being discipled by Him in our own secret and quiet place, as the Scripture says. I want to go to heaven. Thank God, heaven, thank God. I want to go to heaven. Don't want to go to hell. I don't think anybody does, whether they believe in it or not. Don't want to go there. But I want heaven's power in my life day in and day out. I want heaven's power in my marriage. Come on, I want heaven's power in the workplace. I want heaven's power to help me do whatever God's called me to do. So when Jesus says to these disciples, and he's saying to us, follow me, they gave up everything. Fishermen gave up everything. Matthew, the tax collector, gave up everything. And then even Jesus, after he's raised from the dead, he appears to Saul, or Paul, later called, and he tells him exactly what to do. He gives up everything, gives up his life, gives up his lifestyle, gives up his teaching, gives up he was a persecutor of Christ, and he starts following this man from Galilee who he had never met physically, he'd heard about, but never met, but now he's got an encounter, hashtag ladies conference yesterday. He's got an encounter with Jesus, and his life is being changed. I want to be like Paul. How many in the room like that? Amen, everybody? So we said last week, the first requirement to be a follower, to followership, we said, or the first requirement of a disciple is followership. Can I follow? Will you follow? Continually. Will we continually follow? But we, more so probably in North America, I don't know than anywhere else, really haven't been a whole lot of places, but it seems like one of the things we're known for and one of the things that's our greatest strength and our greatest weaknesses is that we will tell you the way. We will show you the way because we are the way. And that's kind of inbred, I think, into all of us, that we all think we're right. And there's nothing wrong with that until you're wrong. And I can't tell God what to do with my life. He's told me what the scriptures say. And he's asking me, if you want me in your life, you have to be a sold out follower. Not telling me no, not dictating to me what you will and won't do. This is how I made you. This is how I called you. This is what I want you to do for me. And the sooner that we say yes to that, the sooner things will start making sense, the sooner the frustrations and all the anxiety and all the fear and all the stuff where you'll realize more and more, like we said a moment ago, that God's not a withholder. He's good to me. He's got grace. He's got power. He's got ability for me. And he's going to continually work in me and change me from day in and day out until the time that he comes back, the time that I go to heaven. So we said this last week, is that the goal of every disciple really is just simply three things. We said, number one, just be with Jesus. Be with Jesus. What does that mean? Be with Jesus. Be with Jesus every day in prayer. Get alone with him every single day in prayer. Get alone with him every single day with the Word of God open. Read the Word of God. God's words are God's voice. Read the Word every single day. Get it in you. Be with Jesus. Commit to be with Jesus every single day. Many of you are, you know, where you work every single week or maybe even every day before the day kind of gets going. You have a team meeting. The team gets together and then you disperse and go do, you know, whatever you're called to do. This is what we're talking about. For me to function today, I need to be with the Creator. I need to hear you. I need to be inspired. Sometimes, listen, I'll be real with you. I've been in this thing for 44 years now. Sometimes it's like heaven comes down. Sometimes it's like, did anything really happen here? Can I be honest with you? But listen to me. That's like me eating the salad and going, am I changed yet? Did I lose the weight yet? It's working in you. It's working in you. So listen, come be a person that says, whether I feel it or not, whether it looks like it or not, day in and day out, God, you can count on me being with you. I'm going to be with Jesus. I'm a disciple. I'm going to be with you. Number two, become like Jesus. Become like him. How are you going to become like him? Just a constant growth. I'm not going to stay the same. I'm going to press in. When my mind's lying to me, when it doesn't feel like anything's happening, I'm coming again. I'm going to become like Jesus. What I see in the scriptures, the way you are, that's the way I want to be. The children have the traits of their father and their mother. I have the traits of God in my life. It's in me. I have your nature. I have your life. I have your spirit, so I can think and act and be and become more and more like you every single day. That's what I want. My hangups and my hookups and my drawbacks and my frustrations and all the anxiety and all the guilt and all the shame and the condemnation, all the stuff that I dealt with 3 or 4 weeks ago, or 3 or 4 years ago, or dear God, 30 years ago, am I still fighting that, battling that? Gary, become a disciple. Be with Jesus and become like him. I want to change. I want to grow. I don't believe I want to have the same stuff that I'm dealing with now in another 5 years or 5 months. And then lastly, just do what Jesus did. Just do what Jesus did. But be with Jesus, become like Jesus, and then just do what Jesus did. Act on the word, what he did, his word, his spirit, his life. Read the Gospels again with the fresh eyes. Be with Jesus. Become like Jesus. Do what Jesus did. I don't think I said this last week. Look on the screen real quick. It's not your belief in Jesus that makes you attractive as a Christian. It's the noticeable commitment to living the life, to living like Jesus. It's not my belief. Oh, you go to church today, your neighbors see you drive out of the house, or the condo, or the apartment. They don't care. But it's the noticeable commitment to living a life like Jesus and doing what he said. Living a life like Jesus. This is what discipleship is all about. We're not just I'm saved, I'm a Christian. And are you, like we said last week with our Catholic brothers and sisters, are you a practicing Christian? Do you practice this? Or is it just something that you say you are, say that you do? So maybe a question we could ask is your faith a quiet faith or is your faith a loud faith? I'm not talking about boisterous in your face and just like stuff we see on the internet now and all kind of crazy things. But I'm talking about a loud faith that's just loud to jump in the middle of something and say, we're going to pray. We're going to believe God. Come on. I'm with you. You can count on me. That's what I'm talking about, a loud faith. This is what the world's looking for. God's looking for us like what it says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, after Jesus was raised, before he ascended, he said some of his last words. He said, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. Notice that. You're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you're going to be a witness for me. Jerusalem, Samaria, all those places, you know, all those cities. You're going to be a witness for me. This is what it means to be a disciple, a living witness of Jesus Christ. Not quiet in our faith, not ashamed, not condemned. No. The Spirit of God working in you to bring the power of God to bear in every situation of life. Can I get an amen, everybody? So listen, let's just say it this way. Jesus really isn't looking for converts. He's looking for disciples. So thank God conversion is the first part, but he's looking for men and women who are apprentices of him and who are disciples of him and who say, I'm committed to the cause. I'm a disciple. I'm an apprentice, and I'm going to know the truth, and that truth's going to set me free. And it's not just going to set me free. It's going to work in my family. It's going to work at the workplace. It's going to work in my city. It's going to work in my neighborhood. I commit my life to follow him. Can I get an amen? The Apostle Paul, who wrote about two-thirds of the New Testament or so, he went to, I think it's in Timothy, he writes to Pastor Timothy, and he starts talking to him about some stuff that's going on in the church that he needs to be aware of, and he actually writes Timothy, and he says stuff like this. He says, there's some people that have snuck in, we've heard about this, snuck into the church, these like super spiritual people, and he said that they're trying to trick unwary women, deceiving them with false teachings. And he specifically lays out this character trait of these women. Now, women, listen to me. This is just written concerning you, but it could be easily said to men as well. He says this, these women were always learning, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth? How can that happen? Evidently it did. Where it's, give me something new. He went on to say at another place, Paul said they have itching ears for something new. Give me some new teaching. Give me something new. I'm not satisfied with what I have. I'm not satisfied with the word that I'm getting. I'm not satisfied. And if you're in a deficit of the word, but we don't have that here at our church. But there's people who are wanting something new, to, Paul says, to tickle their ears, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And hence, they were easily deceived. We said this last week. Everybody's following somebody. Everybody's got a rabbi. Everybody's got somebody that they're following. Everybody's got somebody that they're being discipled all the time in all kinds of realms. We got to make sure that the Word of God is our standard, the Word of God is our source, and that Jesus is the one that we follow. Can I get an amen? Amen. Being a disciple is not kind of like us in high school. Many of us are junior college or university, and this was definitely who I was during those years. It was like this. How many credits do I need to graduate? Okay, so I know exactly how many credits I need to graduate because I don't want to do any more. The thought was, what's the minimum? Come on, what's the minimum? What's the least I need to do to graduate high school? Come on, anybody like me slip by? Come on, don't know how you got out. College, what's the least I need to do? Listen to me. This is not the thought that needs to be in your life concerning the kingdom of God. What's the least I need to do just to kind of make it to heaven? This is not a disciple's thought. God wants us and expects us to live changed lives that we're continually sacrificing more and more of our life, our lifestyle, our own will to His purpose and to His kingdom. And what we said last week a little bit was concerning the apprenticeship program and what we see in some of these trades that men and women get involved with is that our whole education system really isn't designed so you master it. It's designed so you get by. And this is the same kind of concept I think that many North American Christians take. What is it that I can just get by? What's the least I can do to be okay? Is it show up Christmas and Easter? I'll do that. Some settings, that's okay in some churches. Is it show up to church once a month? Is it to just maybe get involved if they beg me and beat me and scold me and what's the least I can do to be okay with you? That's the wrong mindset. I'm encouraging you to grow spiritually and leave salvation, in this sense, leave salvation and enter into discipleship. Or take salvation and grow to become a disciple, a pupil, a learner, an apprentice who knows the truth. And when it was gone through those 4 or 5 years of an apprenticeship program, and now I'm an electrician. Now I can be hired. I'm a carpenter. I'm a millwright. I'm a steel worker. I can do it. I can be gainfully employed. And guess what? I can teach somebody else. There's got to be a process in our minds where we aren't continually in the discipleship mode. Listen to me. You'll always be a disciple, but in the 4 or 5 years where you were an apprentice at a trade, in the 4 or 5 years where you're growing spiritually, there's got to be a beginning time, listen to me, and really an end time where you go, I get what it means to live in Christ. I get what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to live a life surrendered. I get what it means to sacrifice. I get what it means to live a generous life. I have grown to become a disciple. Is there things to tweak all the time? 100% every day. That's why I got to keep coming to Him. But I've grown. I've disciplined myself. He's working in me. I've become a learner. I've become a pupil. But now I can teach other people what I've learned. And I could say to them, imitate me as I imitate Him. This is the goal, listen to me, for every man or woman in our church. And I'm asking you to raise the bar because God wants to use you in amazing ways. Can I get an amen, everybody? Can I get a better amen, everybody? Amen. Disciples, apprentices, have learned and are living the life of transformation. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. That's not for Pastor Gary only. That's for all of us. Don't be conformed. Continually be transformed So you can prove it out, the good, acceptable, perfect will of God. Everywhere you go, this is the life and the lifestyle of an apprentice, of a disciple. It's taking it from the classroom, come on, and taking it into application. Everywhere we go, where we think and we act different. We expect different, we believe different, we know the word, and that word is setting us free. And we are bold and loud, not aggressive in the sense of shaking people, but bold and loud to say, listen to me, your life can change. You don't have to continually live a depressed and harassed life under anxiety and guilt and shame and condemnation in that cloud. You can be free, and I'm going to tell you how to get free. Come show up with me every Monday morning at 6 o'clock at Starbucks, and we're going to walk through this process, and in a year, you're going to live a different kind of person. Come on, somebody. How about us just be bold like that? How about us be aggressive like that? Come on, how about us believe that, and let's see what God starts doing with you, raising the bar in your life as you raise the bar in somebody else's life. Come on, help me, everybody. Amen? Come on. Listen, Paul says this. Paul tells this, you know, so on the flip side, Paul says this to Pastor Timothy also. He says, Timothy, don't put a novice in office. He tells him that. Don't put a novice. The word novice is interesting. It means somebody that's newly planted. Recently, it would be reborn or born again. Somebody that the shoot of their life, the blade of their life, the output, you know, that little thing that comes out of the ground there, it's just starting. Don't put that person in the leadership position because they could be deceived and tempted by the devil. Let there be a growth in them. Let there be a time that the roots go down and the fruit starts coming up and we can see people's life. But there has to be a time where we see. Where we see, where I grow up. There's a time in our adolescence where they're no longer children. They become able to reproduce the male. That little guy, all of a sudden, his body changes and he can reproduce. And a female, she can start reproducing different ages, but we all know about that certain age. They become able to have a child. God wants you to produce spiritual children. People who follow you. People who follow the way of Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody help me up in here this morning. Come on, everybody. So he says, Paul says, don't put a novice in because on the flip side, formation takes some time. Formation takes some time. There's some challenges and there's some tests that we all need to go through. And there's some character development that Christ is going to continually take us through. But it doesn't have to be, and it shouldn't have to be. It's not forever. Again, the apprentice, the men and women who go through 4 or 5 years, all of them are the same. There's a beginning and then end. Now you can do it and you should do it. And you have the ability to teach somebody else. This is the process. This is the thought we have to have. I was thinking about the story of Ruth. It's only 4 chapters. You should read Ruth, man. Ruth is an amazing book. I love Ruth. Ruth has got a sister-in-law named Orpah, and she's got a mother-in-law named Naomi. And all three of their men in their lives, husbands, all died. And so Naomi gets with Orpah and Ruth and just says, listen, just go back home. Go back, serve your gods. Go back, man. All of our men died. Come on, there's no welfare system. We're probably going to die. So just get on down the road, go back home, and it'll be well with you. And Orpah says, peace out. I'm out of here. I'm going. And Ruth, and here's what Ruth says. I love Ruth. Check it out. Ruth 1:16-17. Ruth says, don't ask me to leave you and turn back. Come on, don't ask me to go. Come on. How easy is it for you to get discouraged and quit? Some people, you know, it's like if they didn't get seated in the right place at church, I'm going to another church. Or they didn't shake my hand, or they didn't play my song, or they didn't let me sing. We're not letting you sing because you can't sing. Come on, somebody needs to tell you that. That's why I don't sing up here. Or you hear me sing and you go, I wish that car would turn them off back in the back. But she says, don't ask me to leave. And she says, and turn back. Don't ask me to do that. Wherever you go, I will go. It's discipleship. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people are going to be my people. Your God is going to be my God. And it goes a little further. Wherever you die, I'm going to die, and I'm going to be buried. Listen to me. She says, I'm in it. I'm in it. This isn't bouncing around. I'm in it. I'm here for the long haul. I'm where you go, I go. Your God's my God. Where you live, I'm living. If we're moving, I'm moving with you. Come on, I'm going to be a flea on your back. Wherever you go, I'm going. Don't shake me out. Listen to me. This is the heart of an apprentice. This is the heart of a disciple. This is the heart. I'm going to follow you, Jesus. I'm going to serve you, Jesus. I'm going to go with you, Jesus. Come on, remember, I was raised Baptist for, you know, many, many years when I was a kid. And we used to sing this song all the time. I have decided to follow Jesus. Come on. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. Oh, no, I don't know how to go. No turning back. No turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. One more time. Though none go with me. I don't know. You get the point, right? This is from Ruth. Come on. I'm with you. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. Your people are my people. I'm with you. This needs to be the heart of every single one of us. I'm not going to get easily shaken, because the scripture that says in the last days, anything that can be shaken will be shaken. You have to make up your mind. My roots are going down deep. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to worship God. I'm going to be known by God, and I'm going to grow spiritually. Let me give you just a couple more scriptures before we close today, a couple of different points. I want to just drill down for a few minutes at these three points in closing. This scripture takes a new meaning to me in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. And I'll make a comment on this because I think it might throw new light for you to think about this week. Jesus said this: enter by the narrow gate. Wide is the gate. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go that way. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way that leads to life. And there are few that go there. Few that find it. I don't remember, but I know a lot of times I've heard people talk about this, pastors talk about this, preachers talk about this, where they talk about salvation and going to heaven, with few in comparison making it to heaven, and many, the majority of the world, majority of people, not making it. But what if what Jesus is really trying to drill down is more about discipleship, more about apprenticeship? What if he's saying the narrow way, the difficult way, this is the specific way that a believer has to live? It's narrow. One translation says it's compressed. It's like if you try to do something different, you're always coming against something that's grating you. And I wonder if many, many Christians are constantly going from thing to thing and just being shaved down until God's saying, will you come to me? This is the narrow way. It is difficult at times, but it is going to produce life in your life. And then he says, the broad way, the wide way, all kinds of options, all kinds of opportunities not to do the narrow and the constricted thing, not to do the difficult thing. Oh, you can have that in your life and still be saved. Yeah, you can have that, and it's all right. He says there's a narrow way, a difficult way. He said that way, the broad way, is where you'll live a life of unfulfillment. You'll live a life of dissatisfaction. You'll live a life at the end of your life saying, why did I waste my life chasing all that? The disciple has made up their mind. It's a difficult way. It's a constricted way, but this is the pathway of life. We pray a prayer around here regularly for you, whether you know it or not. From Galatians chapter 4, verse 19, I pray this regularly for our church. I've added a couple words to it from some different translations. But Paul's praying to the church at Galatia, and he says this: my little children, I am again in labor pains for you. I'm praying for you, he's saying. I'm in labor pains. This thing is in me. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you that the suffering, I'm suffering for you until Christ. In prayer, it's like suffering until Christ is completely and permanently formed and molded in you. Notice this. I'm praying. They're already saved, but I'm praying for you. I'm suffering. There's an anxiety. There's a travail in my spirit for you. That I'm praying that Christ would be completely, permanently formed and molded in your life. Again, what's he talking about? He's talking about the character of Christ working in the lifestyle, thoughts, ambitions, desires, motives, agenda of a believer. I'm praying until you think and act and speak and talk and live your life as the man of God I've called you to live. That you talk and speak and live and act your life as the woman of God I've called you to live. As the husband, as the wife, as a single person in your sexuality, in your wholeness, in your attitudes towards others and others of different races until Christ is permanently, completely formed and molded within you. Until you could be, till we could mold you and we could make another one of you. That's just like the original. That's what I want, Paul is saying. I'm praying. And he's talking about character development. He's talking about the formation, the shaping of Christ inside each one of us. And so I just, as a general broad brush stroke this morning, in many evangelical circles, the focus concerning Christ and formation is this. It focuses on right doctrine and thinking. If you just get your doctrine right, and a lot of times it's dry, it's stoic, it's staid, there's no spirit, but in many evangelical circles, it's all about doctrine, it's all about teaching. In many mainline traditions and denominations, it's all about justice, it's all about compassion, it's all about feeding the poor, it's all about clothing, it's all about social issues, and all that's important. And then we got Pentecostal persuasions, apostolics and charismatics, and which we are those. But the focus is on experience. The focus is on power. And all those things are incomplete by themselves for character formation, for being disciples of Jesus Christ. And so let me just encourage you in closing. Edwin, come up help me, brother. Discipleship and spiritual formation that I'm asking you for the next 3 weeks, that you maybe just write these three phrases down. Get your phone out, take a picture. We'll go over each one of them. I'm just asking you to think about during your quiet time in the morning. For discipleship and spiritual formation in your life, for the rest of your life, number one, that you just begin working in your own life and asking God concerning the character of God working in your life. The character of God. Make me more like you. Holy, pure, righteous. Where the fruit of the Spirit is working in my life more and more. I'm amazed at how not long-suffering I can be. I'm amazed at sometimes how stupid I can be. I want the fruit of the Spirit in my life. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I want to control myself more. The character of God. Again, a disciple, me, you, all of us, whatever level we're at, I want to grow more in the character of God. I want to be more holy. If I've got some unholy stuff around me or in me, I want to get that stuff out. I got some impure stuff I'm attached to. I want to get that stuff out. I want a whole body cleanse. Get my body right, right? I want a whole spirit cleanse. I know I'm right. Listen to me. This is where it gets dicey with a church like ours. I'll tell you why. We know who we are in Christ, a lot of us. I'm saved. I'm born again. I'm righteous. You can know it. You can know it, and it's a real, it's reality, but you might not be experiencing it. You might not be working it out, what he's worked in. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is where people say, unsaved. They're saved? They ain't acting saved. A disciple has got the actions working out. Perfect? Absolutely not. But maturing. We want to mature. Discipleship, spiritual formation. The character of God working in us. Secondly, I'm asking you, number two, the love of God. The love of God. This week, here's what you're going to do all week long. This is going to take you like 5 minutes in the morning. The love of God. merciful. I want to be more merciful. I want to be more compassionate. I want to be more caring. I want to be more generous. The love of God working in me, working in me, working through me. Am I being more loving? I got to work it right now at the house. If I'm married, I got to work it with my kids. Now I got to take it to the office. Now I got to take it in my small group. I got to take it in my ministry team that I'm serving with. Is the love of God working through me? You know, do I go off and I go crazy on the 18-year-old barista that gave me almond milk instead of oat milk? And I'm lashing out. How could you? And everybody's around me going, chill, sis. It's okay. I want the love of God working in me. But Paul says, and just maybe make a note for some of you, read 1 Corinthians 13. Read that. Read that. Read 1 Corinthians 13. Paul says this. He says, you could speak like an angel. You could speak like an angel. You could prophesy. You could have all knowledge. You could have all faith to remove mountains. He says, you could feed everybody. You could sacrifice your life to be burned. And he says, it does not matter without love. All the activity, all the stuff, it equals nothing without the love. In fact, he says, you're like a clanging cymbal, noisy cymbal. I don't want to be a noisy cymbal. I want to grow. I want to grow in the character of God. I want to grow in the love of God. And just lastly, I want to grow in the pursuit of God, the pursuit of God, the pursuit of God. I want to be hungry. I want to be thirsty. I want to be a person of prayer, a person of passion. I want to be like Paul after 20 years, 25, 30 years of following Jesus. He writes in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, I want to know you. I want to know you. I want to know the power of your resurrection. I'm going to be conformed into your image more and more. He's still hungry to know God. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. I want to know him. I'm on a pursuit. I'm on a journey. I haven't got it yet, but I'm hungry for more. As David says in the Psalm, as a deer pants for the water, my soul is thirsty for you. I'm hungry for you in a dry and a weary land where I don't see any recovery. I don't see any water. I'm hungry for you, Lord God. There's nothing that satisfies me. I want to stir up the gift of God that you've given me. So I got to come every day to fan the flame. Fan it with your word. Fan it with your spirit. Fan it with others in the body of Christ. Lord God, you said in Psalm or Isaiah 44, you'd pour water on him who's thirsty. You pour floods on the dry ground. Lord God, so I'm saying again today, I'm hungry and I'm thirsty. I'm coming again this morning. I'm coming again at night. I'm coming again at lunch. Whatever what your time is. And I'm just coming and I'm saying, I'm going to pursue you. I'm going to pursue you. Psalm 27, David says, Lord, you said, seek my face. My heart said to you, your face I will seek. If you said, seek me, I'm going to seek you until I find you and know you and continually come and be transformed into your very image so that my life will replicate more and more what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, a disciple of Jesus Christ. Not someone who's just going to heaven, but somebody where other people can look at and say, there's a Christian right there. Look what they're doing with their marriage. Look how they're raising their kids. Look at the kindness they're doing. Look at that person that they went over there and said something to. I noticed that. I saw them. Look at how they're inviting other people. They're including other people. They're speaking of their faith. They're not jamming it down someone's throat. It's not turn or burn. It's a loving embrace and a compassionate concern for others to follow Jesus Christ. Listen to me. This is the call of a disciple of Jesus Christ. Somebody said a phrase, I can't get it out of my heart, can't get it out of my mind. Kimberly mentioned it to me this morning, just this phrase, God comes where he's wanted. God comes where he's wanted. Every single day, every single morning. I got a little chair. That's my prayer chair. I get when I'm early and I'm there and it's just hands raised. It's got to make a little cup of coffee and I go and I'm right there and it's God, I need you. God, I want you again today. I'm just here to tell you, I need you and I want you and let's go. Amen, everybody. Come on, stand up with me all over the room. Come on, Father God, bow your heads. Would you do it as you stand? Lord God, that's our prayer today. Come on, just say that with me. Lord, I need you. Come on, just tell me, Lord, I need you. Come on, Lord, I want you. You come where you want it. I want you, Lord God. I want you in my life. I want you in my marriage. I want you in my family. I want you in my future. I want you in my present. So, Lord God, we commit to the process of discipleship. We're going to follow you, Lord God. Where you lead, we will follow. You lead us, you guide us, you feed us, you direct us. We know that from Scripture. You take us on the mountaintop, you're with us in the valley. You said you'd be with us even in the desert, where there doesn't seem like there's water, but there's a way. There's always a way. You're the way maker. There's always a way to get us from where we're at to where you want us to be. So we commit to being apprentices. We commit to being followers. We commit to being disciples of Jesus Christ, pupils, learners. We want the character of God working in us more and more. We want the love of God working in us. We want to be men and women who pursue you with our entire being. So, Father, that's our prayer. That's our desire. That's our desire in this room. Come on, hands up. Let's raise to him. We're just saying, Lord God, we're hungry. We're hungry for more. We want to know you. Fathers, we've been praying for months and months and months that you'd pour your spirit out on the thirsty, on the hungry. We're saying, that's us. Come on, just tell them, that's me. That's me. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. I'm thirsty. I'm thirsty. We're going to pursue you. We're going to pursue you. As Ruth pursued Naomi, where you go, I'm going to go. We're going to follow. Father, I pray for the leadership of the Holy Spirit in our congregation like never before. We hear your voice, we follow your voice. Your word is loud and clear, directing, leading, guiding, speaking, encouraging. Father, if there's correction, you correct us as a loving Heavenly Father. If you discipline, if we need discipline, discipline us as a loving Heavenly Father. For our fruit bearing, for our protection, oh God. It's a narrow way. We commit to the narrow way. Come on, some of you need to do that this morning. I just commit to the narrow way. I'm done with the wide way. I'm done with the way everybody else is going. I commit to the narrow way. It leads to life. We say yes to Jesus. Yes to your will. Yes to your way. Father, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, all God's people said amen. Come on, help me out. Said amen. Amen, amen. We're going to do something a little bit different this morning. If you don't know Jesus, you're away from Jesus, our prayer partners are going to be up here this morning. Come out of your chair.